And that was a cool Nick Cave cut to carry us through. And
yeah, that's
James
going out to Vegas,
gonna,
Berlin.
Yeah.
Sorry,
oh, that's for Vegas.
We're gonna. Cool. I think we'll have a seamless connection here. We got James Spiona on the
line.
Yeah,
let's see. I've got his mic up. And okay. James, say hello. See if we got you, man.
How you doing? I'm here.
Yeah, that's
what we're talking
that's
about.
That's pretty great.
All see, right. We ain't so bad.
No sweat.
Can you hear us too, James? Are we echoey to you? Just want to make sure that you get a good, clean signal for us.
You're a little echoey. I can hear Mark a little better.
Okay.
Yeah, well, because he's got a booming voice, no doubt.
Here, I'll give you a little more volume there, Gregor.
Yeah, give me a little
got
more.
That deep, soulful,
yes.
Kind of an answer kind of voice.
What have you got for me?
Hey, James. Nice to meet you, buddy.
Hey, man. Thanks for coming on the show. So I know a lot of stuff has been... It's a lot of stuff to talk about your film Silenced, but I thought maybe we could just start with the fact that you had really endeavored to make a different film originally. How many years ago did it start?
I guess I started this film about 3 years ago, more than 3 years ago. It was certainly before Snowden or any of that happened. But I was, you know, just reading here and there about a number of different whistleblowers. I guess Tom Drake was the first one who came to my attention, who was a NSA executive who
right.
started really doing what Snowden did 10 years before in the 2000s, you know, looking at the beginning of all of that stuff going on post 9/11, the big new blanket surveillance programs. And he was trying to go through all the proper channels and getting nowhere. And then when he finally went public, he was hit with an Espionage Act prosecution.
Unbelievable.
I read about this in The New Yorker. That was the first time I found out about it. And actually, that's in my film, that case was covered in.
Right.
Jane Mayer in The New Yorker. And it kind of made a difference in his case, actually, you know, when the media focused on that, suddenly it became pretty apparent that the government really didn't have a case against Tom Drake. He had really done everything by the book, and that it was clear in the case of retribution. But many other whistleblowers haven't fared so well. In fact, Tom Drake's the only one who have escaped unscathed a prosecution like that.
Wow.
You know, as you know, there have been a number of others who've ended up in prison, including John Kiriakou, who was the CIA whistleblower, and myself.
That's a particularly upsetting story, of course, that, you know, is a big focus in your film. And, I mean, you know, just thinking about the whole thing with General Petraeus, right, and his mistress, the kind of things that he gave up, and pillow talk was, I mean, this was stuff that no one had even really heard outside of
right. The
inner clatter.
Well, this is one of the major themes of my film, Silence. And by the way, before I forget, now available on iTunes and a number of other digital platforms.
Nice, yeah.
But, you know, this is a major theme, which is that, you know, what does it mean to, quote-unquote, reveal or possess classified information? What do those laws actually mean, and how are they enforced?
Right.
And if you look at what happens, it becomes very clear very quickly that if you're lower down the totem pole and you reveal stuff, especially when you're challenging policy
right.
or calling out the government, you're going to get hammered. If you're higher up the chain and you're David Petraeus and you just happen to have this girlfriend who just happened to be a journalist and you were kind of gave her some stuff on her, yeah, it's,
right.
you know,
yeah.
We're gonna have an investigation, but in the end, it's a little fine, a little slap on the wrist, and he's still, you know, teaching and making, you know, massive speaker's fees and everything else. Why? Well, because he's part of the protected class.
Pretty crazy.
Power class.
Right. I mean, he basically resigned, though, right? That's the only thing they forced him to do.
Well, he was already, you know, but he had already, well, he resigned early on, but when the investigation happened and all that was resolved, he he had already resigned, but before, you know, when it happened, I guess he was still, actually, you know, I'm a little unclear on that. Whether his resignation was because of that, or whether that was already in the works. In any event, the important thing, the important lesson there, and he's not the only one. I mean, this is like, I mean, he is mentioned in the film, of course, because that story broke just as John Kiriakou had taken a plea bargain and decided he'd you know, go to prison rather than risk not seeing his children grow up.
Yeah, awful.
So anyway, there's the two different standards, and now you have the, you know, the spectacle of the Hillary Clinton emails, and, you know, it's being fought along these partisan lines. And
right.
Of course, she's into election season, so she's going to get grilled and dragged through the mud and everything else. But in the end, I think it's pretty safe to predict that there's not going to be an Espionage Act charge against her, even though there are people in prison for revealing or possessing even far less secret classifications of information.
Yeah.
You know, Chelsea Manning comes to mind, who's in prison for 35 years.
Oh my God.
For revealing stuff that wasn't even at that level of classification that some of these emails were. Again, so this whole idea, this was one of the reasons I made the film, like exploring this whole idea of like this explosion of classification levels, and which there were, you know, over 100 new levels were created after 9/11. It's this weird, like, almost schizophrenic thing. Like, you've got all these levels of classification and all these things that are supposedly sensitive and secret, and you've got over 1 million people with secret clearance. Like, how classified could anything actually be? So inevitably, when these things are enforced, there are political reasons. That's inevitably what happens in all of these cases. And, you know, certainly my film looks really closely at three cases that I think were very definitely politically motivated. And there are attempts to, you know, basically silence critics.
Right. Pretty, and I'm sure that they've done much worse to people, unfortunately, and literally silenced them, unfortunately.
Well, I don't know, I don't know about that, but, I mean, that's not what my film's about, but yeah, I mean, of course, there's, you know, you're dealing in clandestine services, and you know, they don't like being challenged.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, it's particularly concerning and sort of notable that it was the administration of Barack Obama that sort of invented this, using the Espionage Act as a kind of a prosecutorial bludgeon, if you will.
Can I ask you, do you think that
and they've used that act now more times than every previous administration combined? Part of Obama's legacy, very mixed record, I feel, but certainly in terms of civil liberties, dismal record. This was an administration that was very, very hostile even towards transparency, whistleblowers, and you know, exactly the opposite of what he said he was going to do during his first campaign.
Right, the transparency and all that. It almost seems like their lawyer was taking lessons from, or was akin to, the lawyers that gave advice to the Bush administration. I mean, it's almost like they just took it up a notch.
Well, it's very, I mean, in these areas of national security, are very contiguous with the Bush administration. Very much continuity. Nothing was radically changed.
Right.
Nothing was really altered. Everything pretty much has, you know, went in the same direction. And in some cases, for instance, with, you know, whistleblowers, it became even more aggressive. You know, the other policy that Obama, and my film's not really about this, but, you know, one of the other very striking national security policies is the use of drones to kill people halfway around the world who we don't really know all that much about, but there's a, you know, certain amount of data and metadata and things that, you know, signature strikes, they call them. And, you know, that person's likely Al-Qaeda, and, you know, so we're going to kill him. And anyone who happens to stand nearby.
Yeah.
You know, so this is unprecedented. So, you know, Obama's record on civil liberties and this national security area, you know, the explosion, the continued expansion of all the surveillance stuff, you know, it's very troubling.
Yeah.
James, I'd like to, because you're here and you're live and on the air, I would like to play the trailer. I did find it. And then, well, maybe just a follow-up, and then a follow-up about the trailer, whatever, because it's all, we're not seeing any visual, we're going to be hearing it. But then maybe some information, which is kind of important or extremely important, where they can find more info about Silenced and anything regarding you, so that people can look into it and also just see the trailer online as well. But I'd like to play that, and then if you want to talk a little bit about that and make sure that we have some information for our listeners here at WGXC.
Sure.
All right, so Mark, just give me live on Auxiliary 2.
There you go, bro.
And we'll be back in 2 minutes. Stay. I mean, we're all live here. I'm just saying. I'm gonna play this here. The official trailer 2015 for Silenced, and we have James Spione here live. Where are you? In New York right now, James?
I'm in New York. I'm in Westchester County actually right now.
Okay. All right, James. Let me see if we can play this out here.
The first day that I reported to the National Security Agency was 9/11.
This is just a horrific scene.
It was crisis.
The front power.
But it became clear within the space of a few days that this was not a normal crisis.
Once we were in the war on terrorism, there was definitely a sea change.
I was told that the CIA had begun a program that they were calling Enhanced Interrogation Techniques. I had a visceral problem with it.
I was hearing very disturbing information.
Even the heads of state in these countries didn't know that we had these secret prisons there.
We would now instrument the United States of America for the purposes of dragnet blanket electronic surveillance on a vast scale.
There is information that the public in a functioning democracy has a right to know.
There's a difference between leaking and whistleblowing. What I blew the whistle on was government illegality.
I could not live with myself knowing that another human being could be put to death because I kept my mouth shut.
They're now engaged in an active cover-up at the highest levels.
He looked at the file and said very matter-of-factly, this file has been purged.
It wasn't until I was about an hour into this interview that I realized, wait a minute, they're investigating me.
I'm the one who ends up having to hire a team of lawyers.
Charged with leaking top secret information.
They set the target. They put the bullseye on me. They said, we're going to make an example of him.
I'm fighting to have my September 10th country back.
Still very powerful, man. I mean, I saw it on satellite, and yeah, man, nice job. It was great to be a part of it, you know. So glad I got to work on it.
Well,
with you.
Thank you. I'm fighting to get my September 10th country back. That's sort of the motto of all these people. You know, whistleblowers are often depicted in the media as, you know, traitors or at least kind of suspect. Maybe they're kind of anti-government. They have a chip on their shoulder or something happened. You know, in most cases, they're just people doing their job, really. And they're patriotic people who believe in the mission.
Right.
And they believe in the Constitution. And what happens is they end up in a bureaucracy where questionable stuff is going on. And they have to make that decision. Do I speak up? Do I challenge this, or do I just go along? Like, most people will go along. Almost everybody will just go along. So it's a rare individual, and I really wanted to look at that, the character, the type of person that it takes to stick their neck out when they know that what's going to happen is that, you know, the entire weight of the federal government is going to come down on them. That takes incredible guts.
Yeah.
For sure, if you have enough in your body.
Oh my God.
James,
you were saying, you know, if people want to learn more about the film, silencedfilm.com.
That's the best way, actually, obviously.
The trailer's there, links to where you can purchase the film now online are there, screenings that it's been to. There's a lot of press links, you can see, you know, you can read about the film. Actually, just today, the website Shadowproof, Kevin Gossolo wrote a really nice wrap-up of what's happened with the film over the past year or so, just touring the world with it, how it affected the whistleblowers, you know.
And James, if they go to silenced.com, there's a link for that particular piece you're talking about as well?
Silencedfilm.com.
Oh, silenced film, right.
No, that actually just came out today, so there's no link to it yet.
Wow.
There will be.
Wow.
But of course, you know, you can just Google you know, the latest information.
And,
I'm on Twitter and Facebook, so is the film, so you can just search for it.
And Mark Bailey has told me about you're accessible. This particular piece, Silence, is accessible on Netflix. Is that correct?
Is
it accessible on Netflix?
Not yet, but
not yet.
Soon. I'm not exactly sure of the date, but we will be eventually rolling out to Netflix as well.
Well, that's great, because that's how I'm gonna pick it up in my home front on my big screen, pull it on down.
No, I mean, we've been really, it's really exciting, actually. This film has been seen, actually at this point, by millions of people around the world, because we were broadcast in a number of countries. Even before it was broadcast here, it was broadcast in Germany and France, and a very large station there.
And well-received, Mark, you told me it was very well-received, and it should be, because it's pretty darn serious and straight to it.
Yeah, well, it's been an amazing ride, you know. You know, toured around to a lot of these festivals, and these issues, this idea of abuse of power, of course, happens in all governments in a way, but also quite literally, especially the surveillance part of this, is something that's now affecting the world. I mean, we've learned through Snowden's information that he released to journalists that that in fact clandestine agencies from multiple countries are coordinating together. You know, not just the U.S., but the U.K. and Germany and Australia. You know, so this is something that citizens everywhere are very concerned about. I mean, the most amazing response to this film, really, at any festival was in Europe, in Amsterdam. I saw the size of this theater. I said, no way. You know, it was like a 1,200-seat opera house. This beautiful Pathé Chuczynski theater in
And they should be concerned. They should be hip
to it. There's no way we'll fill this. And we packed it. We sold it out. And after the film, they just went nuts. They gave it a standing ovation. And Tom Drake and Jeff Van Raat, who were the whistleblowers, were off stage with me. And they were just in tears. It was such a, you know, validation of everything they had been through and everything they had done.
Yeah, it really has to have been a real emotional, psychological, at least lift to some extent for the focus, these human folks that you profiled in the movie, right? I mean, it must give them something back, because God knows they lost a lot.
Yeah. No, I think I feel great about that. I mean, that moment for me made it all worth it, because as you know, making any independent film, particularly a documentary, it's very difficult. It's a real struggle. Right. You're always scrambling for money. You're always scrambling for resources. You're trying to meet deadlines, and you know, to have that moment where I could see that, like, you know, that audiences were really going to respond that way, and then even more importantly for me, that, like, the people who went through this can see that there's a lot of people out there who are going to think what they it was right and just, and that's a pretty cool thing to be a part of.
And that's all extremely well worth it, James, and it's nice. Well, I haven't met you, but vocally, but this is a very powerful piece, and we're going to plug it before we end the show as well. And silencedfilm.com, correct?
That's right.
Okay. That's
and, you can find the film on Facebook and Twitter as well, or me, James Dionne. We're out there on all the social media.
And Jim, I wanted to tell you that WGXC, we Twittered and Facebooked about you being on WGXC today, so there might be a little bit of
a little more actually highlighting
on
that.
Who knows?
Correct.
Hope so.
Yeah, I saw you guys actually said that Silence got an Academy Award nomination, which is very nice of you to say that. It's not true, but
oh, true.
That was my previous film, Instead of Doing Baghdad.
Oh, you know what, James? I will plug it before. It is an Academy. You're an Academy Award nominee, but not for this particular
piece. Right,
for
the other. So sorry.
Not for this film. That was for a previous film. Yeah.
Well, hey, that's enough. That's enough street cred to make people pay attention and say, you got to listen.
Yeah. Well, let's hope.
Right on, man.
Hey, James, I'm glad we made this work, and someday, sooner than later, I will meet you. And we will continue to plug this. Actually, not just this week. We'll actually remind listeners with their earbuds.
And one
on.
Last thing, because we recorded this, we'll put it in the archives.
Absolutely.
And I'll try to make that linkable and see if we can promote it a little bit off the you know.
Yeah, that would be great. Cool. Now, if you put this up on the web, I'll be sure to link to it myself.
And then great. You should, you know, again, it's like a whole, like, it just snowballs.
We should start
I don't mean
doing
like,
our podcast.
That's not a good thing
this.
To snowball. I think so. I agree.
Let's start doing our podcast with James.
I think we will. This
All right,
is a
man.
Good influence. James, thank
right,
you very much. And,
thanks so much, bro.
Be good, be safe, and thank you so much for what you do.
Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate you taking the time to have me on and talk about the film a little bit.
Great to have you, man.
I look forward to meet you, too, James.
All right.
Be good.
Have a great weekend, buddy. See you.